play.
Sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome to an episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. You can watch us live on YouTube or Periscope right now, and then check us out on all your listening platforms. As always, if you have a rate review on the podcast, that would be great. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm doing all right, dude. How are you?
I am doing. It's the third, or no, it's been since Friday. Let's do the quick math. The fourth straight day of 100-plus degrees, and we are going to be that way through the weekend, maybe even to Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, so I heard you guys had a little bit of heat going on there. The hottest temperature ever recorded in Death Valley.
Yeah, like 130-something degrees.
Yeah, 130.
Yeah, no, I literally an hour before the podcast. So if this shuts off, I apologize. I got a text message from PG&E saying for the next 4 days, there might be random power outages for an hour or two in your area. So that was freaking awesome.
Got some Enron people running in again or what?
Yeah, pretty much. They blamed it on whatever company supplies the energy. That was in the message. So yeah. So good stuff there. But how was the golf weekend for you?
I was fine. Fucking Jim Herman. Okay. I mean,
The best was looking at the Slack chat, and all of a sudden Kevin goes, "I'm about to lose a 40-1 Billy Ho because of Jim effing Herman."
Yeah, dude. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. The guy barely makes the cut. He barely makes the cut. He was like two shots out of the cut with like six holes to play or something, supposedly. I don't know. Shoot 61, 63 on the weekend.
It's pretty unconscious.
I mean, make 400 and some feet of putts. The dude was just, he was rocking and rolling. Other than Jim Herman, though, I mean, like the leaderboard was pretty good for the event. You know, I mean, Webb was up there, Kevin Kisner, Billy Horschel, obviously, everybody, I'm pretty sure everybody, and their mother included, had a Billy Horschel ticket.
Yep.
And, you know, Siwoo, Fat Pat. Did you see where Fat Pat made, let's say Fat Pat, Patrick Reed, on the 15th, I think it was the 15th hole. Yeah. The 15th hole, he went birdie, eagle, eagle, eagle.
Yeah, he had a strong finish. That's what kind of catapulted him up there.
No, just on that hole for the weekend.
That one hole?
So for the 4 days.
Oh, you're talking about the par five. I got you. Okay.
Yeah, first day he birdied it. Then he eagled it the next day, and then eagled it on Saturday, and then eagled it on Sunday.
So he got 6 under on one hole. It's pretty good.
He shot 7 under on one hole for 4 days.
Oh, you said 3 eagles. Yeah, I can't even. Seven. That's damn impressive. That's and he still didn't win. Go figure.
Right.
Must have been, you know, caddy's problem or something. But what I was annoyed by was this is like the tradition since the restart, having a great Thursday where things are looking beautiful and then watching Trump Slam Central show up to just ruin my hopes and dreams. Because my lineup that looked great, that Trump Slam with Ryan Moore and Corey Connors just couldn't do anything on Friday. It still cashed at 4 or 6 because it had everybody else. It was so annoying because I knew how good that lineup was. And at HB3, Siwoo, and a couple of, I can't remember who it is now. I tried to blank it out of my memory. But Siwoo, I don't know how much you caught on Sunday, but I turned it on right about when his double bogey took place. And then he hits one into the wall. Well, okay. The one with the bogey, he hits a errant shot left with his driver, hits a bridge, so he catches a break there, bounces on a cart path, then hits a parked golf cart, and it comes backwards into the creek where the bridge was.
Oh, God. I didn't see that. No, I got home.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I played golf, and then I got home when they were making the turn, just about when the leaders were making the turn. So I watched that whole back nine.
It was good.
But, yeah, that was
– watching Siwoo, like, he was actually throwing darts out there. It was impressive. Once he did the double and the bogey to kind of get back into it, I was impressed by his shot-making ability. It's like you watch that and wonder how he doesn't compete more often.
You could tell, though, he was on that backside, he was very frustrated. I mean, he played a lot better on the back, but, you know, it just was
not his. He was fist-pumping birdies. And
not his day.
Dropping clubs.
It sucks when you're 18 under and you shoot even par on Sunday and
you lose.
You lose by three.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. But it was fun. You know, Kiz, always a Kiz fan on the show, so it was good to see him get up in there. It was a good tournament. Gets us ready for the playoffs here. Good on Jim Herman. I know the no laying up guys talked about it, but I remember seeing it. This is the last thing I'll talk about. But when Horschel hits that approach into 18 and has got that birdie putt to force a playoff. I don't think Jim Herman's butt could have been clenched more than watching that putt, because he wanted nothing to do with the playoff at all.
Right.
They said – I missed it, but then I went back and saw a highlight on PGA today. He went to drink water with the lid on it still. He was so just like flabbergasted.
Did you not see that?
No, I missed it in the first – I thought he was drinking water. I didn't pay that close attention to it. I'm like, that is nerves, folks. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah. It's weird because you get off the golf course, you think the nerves just go away because everything's done. You have zero control over anything, you know? I mean, obviously you don't want to be in a playoff, but yeah, that was kind of odd to see. But either way, man, I mean, you know, obviously good for him. He's one of those guys who's been on tour for a long time and literally wins just out of nowhere.
Yep. It was pretty crazy, but it was a fun tournament. And now we have just loaded fields coming up, folks. We have the PGA playoffs starting, FedEx Cup playoffs, I should say, giving their proper $1 million sponsorship to the PGA Tour. 125 players this week, goes down to at least 70 next week, down to 30 the final week. So we got no cut events coming up after this week. So that's always fun, one of our bread and butters that we enjoy. And then you got a few kind of tournaments here and there. You got the U.S. Open, you got the Masters with some other stuff sprinkled in. So that'll be a lot of fun. But 125 players this week, T65s and ties. Lots of course history, even though they didn't play here technically last year. But there's a lot we can go over there and some guys in current form, obviously. So let's just get cracking here, Jesse. What do you got for past event history on the Northern Trust?
Yeah, I mean, the issue here is obviously this tournament has moved around. So, I mean, that doesn't really matter who won it last year. But Patrick Reed won last year, 16 under, one shot over Abraham Ancer. But that was played at Liberty National. The year before it was played at Ridgewood. Bryson won. Year before that, I was at Glen Oaks. DJ won. So they've played PGA Tour events here. The Dell Technologies Championship, correct?
Yes.
And Bryson won it in 2018, 16 under par, two shots over Justin Rose. 2017 champion was Justin Thomas, 17 under, three shots over Jordan Spieth. Rory's won this tournament twice. Ricky's a past winner here. Webb's a past winner here. Phil's a past winner here. Tiger's won this tournament. So, I mean, really, you got to look at like 2018 and before for the Dell Technologies Championship if you're wanting to look at, as far as on this golf course, because it's just, I guess they're going to move the Northern Trust around every year now. They have moved it around every year. So, anyways, but there's plenty of, they've played a lot of golf at TPC Boston. So scores, it looks like we're going to be in, depending on the weather, obviously, in the mid to high teens for under par.
Yep, that's what it seems like out there. And this is one of those that the Dell Technology was a part of the FedEx playoffs. So it's usually always a big field. A lot of those names you mentioned, kind of the cream rises to the top at this event for the most part. You're going to get the big boys winning it. So that's always something to keep in mind. TPC Boston, as you mentioned, par 71, 7,342 yards. It's kind of an interesting, it's like in between, it's not short, but it's not long. It's got some really challenging long holes and some really easy short holes. Like, it's a really, really good golf course that kind of tests all different levels of golf, which I actually prefer. It's not just a bombers only type thing or whatever. You can bomb it. You can get aggressive because the fairways are rather wide. The rough usually isn't too penal, but it's weird. They kind of grow it differently from spot to spot on the course. Like, it's not super consistent. Like, certain areas can have some really thicker fescue, some not so much. So obviously they'll notice where they can be aggressive in practice rounds. You'll see Bryson doing some craziness because he's won here before. He knows the course. Now he's going to bomb it everywhere. They have a lot of dog legs, so he can start cutting stuff with his bombing abilities. So that's something to keep in mind. There's two drivable par fours, and pretty much all the par fives are gettable. And that's one reason why you have the low scoring, like Jesse was talking about. So something to keep in mind there. It's bent grass greens, which we've seen. And they might be a little quicker this time of year because it's going to get a little warm this weekend out there on the East Coast. So they could be a little burnt. We'll see. But watch the greens there. That could be interesting. And then the back nine is going to be fun for drama if you want, because that's where the longer par fours for the most part are, with some smaller greens. So you have to be a little more accurate off the tee. So it might make a few bogeys come into play where, you know, we saw last weekend there was a lot of birdie opportunities. You just hit some nice shots. So they'll be a little more challenging. Get your scoring on the front nine. Not that you can't score on the back, but a little more challenge on the back will make things fun. But it's going to test all facets of the game, and that's going to be really, really fun this week. So whoever runs hot, I know it's that simple, but that's pretty much going to take place this week. You have to have a little bit of everything. So what stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
I mean, a lot of the same stuff I look at every week. Greens and regulation, distance and accuracy. I've got them both equally weighted long-term and short-term on Fantasy Labs. Scrambling, birdie score, because, you know, or birdie or better, you know, if that's what you want to go off of, it's a little bit different on Fantasy Labs. Anyways, long story short, plenty of course history. I weight that as well. So, yeah.
Yep, the usual. It's just I'm going with a lot of course history, a lot of current form, because, like I said, it's going to take a little bit of everything to win this week, and it's not just a one-type bomber-type thing, which I'm always a fan of. Bombing tournaments make it a little boring to me, actually, which sounds kind of strange, but it gets a little boring. Let's look at FanshareSports.com. FanShare Sports has been a part of the show since the beginning for the most part. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off. The package of your choice at FanShareSports.com. Football's around the corner. They're doing NBA. You got PGA. They have visions to do other sports. So get in now and enjoy all that. A couple things we looked at, and you can do all kinds of different searches. But I just kind of do a few things here and there. Like, let's mention recent form. So last six events, who's coming in hot? You got Bryson DeChambeau leading the way, followed by Webb Simpson. No shocker there. He's been all over the leaderboards. Justin Thomas, Abraham Answer, Xander, and Siwoo round out the top five in recent form. So that's intriguing. Their last six events on bent grass greens when it comes to DraftKings scoring, Patrick Cantlay, Justin Thomas yet again, Hideki Finau Morikawa helps round out the top five on that one. And then if you're looking at par 71, 7,200 to 7,400 yards, last six events, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, Tony Finau, and Patrick Cantlay. And if you keep going down the list, it's pretty much all the big dogs are dominate these type of courses, because it makes sense. If you can be aggressive, which you can't be on this course, then they're going to have some fun at it, and that's just what they do. So let's get cracking on this. Let's look at the DraftKings, where loaded field. So it's one of those weeks where you can play the ownership game. You could play some chalk, and then, like, then you play the ownership on like one or two positions and roll that way. Because as you saw last week, Webb was super high owned, Kisner was super high owned, Billy Ho was super high owned, and you still needed all three to get a serious cash for the most part. Not all of it, but for the most part. So you don't have to avoid all the chalk to win. But let's get into the DK, where we have six guys over 10K, Jesse, six. And there's more than two guys to 9K, which is surprising. Justin Thomas at 11.3, Bryson at 11.1, Rory at 10.8, DJ at 10.4, Morikawa at 10.2. He is ahead of the number one player in the world, John Rahm, at 10,000. Actually, JT's number one now, I think. It's been rotating so much. But John Rahm, his short-lived number one spot is $10,000. What do you like in this 10K and above range?
All of the above.
Yeah.
No, I mean, obviously, start with JT. He has won here before, as early as or as recent as 2017. He was the winner on this golf course. He won 3 weeks ago. I guess it'd be three weeks ago now. Yeah. Bryson, obviously, winner here. My thing with Bryson is, you know, obviously, last year or 2 years ago, 2018, he won this tournament. I think that was wasn't the year he won two in a row.
Yep, this was a part of it.
Yeah. And then didn't win the FedEx Cup somehow.
I want to say this was like the second leg to get to the East Lake.
Yeah.
I want to say this was what it is. So I think he won the first two legs and then, yeah, didn't get it at East Lake.
Yeah. You know, so he's a different golfer now, but obviously coming off that fourth place finish, the PGA Championship, I mean, he's fine as well. Rory, I feel like, from a GPP perspective, I most definitely will play. I mean, the guy's not played well since the COVID break. He has one top 15 finish in six starts. The rest of them are like basically finishing 32nd, 33rd. But the upside is there, and I think the ownership will be down on him, so I will be playing him. I'll let you talk about DJ if you want to. But two of my favorite plays, I mean, no surprise, Colin Morikawa. I mean, obviously coming off the win, the PGA Championship, he's won two times in his last four starts. The guy is hot as anybody. John Rahm, he'll be interesting to me. So he finished 43rd here last year, or 2018, at this golf course. Fourth the year before that. So he's got two starts, two made cuts. I'm not really sure what the cut, if there even was one. Anyways, fourth in 2017 is really all that matters. And he has a win in the last month at the Memorial Tournament. And then you know, played okay at the PGA Championship, finished 13th. Obviously, I think that's probably disappointing for him, but it'll be interesting to see if, you know, he gets highly touted, because if not, I mean, he rates out really well on my Fantasy Labs model, makes a lot of birdies. We know that. And, you know, just, it's just a matter of, you know, can he just keep it all together? But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my breakdown of this whole group. You know, if I'm playing 150 lineups, I probably got a little bit of all these guys, but if not, you know, I like Rahm, Morikawa, McIlroy from a GPP perspective. Everybody likes JT.
Yeah. Yeah, JT's always going to get his love, and rightfully so. The dude's a beast. He has all facets of the game, so I got no problem with that at all. Rahm is interesting. And first, speaking of Rahm, congrats to Ruby, who crushed it this last week, since he's the biggest John Rahm supporter in the world, it seems like. So over 40K for Ruby, like over 100% ROI type deal, under X ROI, I should say. So pretty good stuff there for Ruby. Rahm, I think, at 10K is interesting, because he always seems like he comes in low-owned to begin with, an elite golfer. You mentioned, you know, he's been good and bad at this course, but if anybody can turn it on, like we saw at the Memorial and whatnot, like this is the guy. So at 10K, I think it's a very, very interesting play, especially ownership-wise, for an elite golfer if you want to. Now, again, you can take the chalk up here if you want and then get some different somewhere else. There's tons of good golfers. But I think Rahm at 10K is very intriguing. He's on my list of guys to monitor going into like Wednesday when I finalize my lineups. Bryson at 11-1, I love. He knows the course. He likes the course. And now he has a new toy called the driver 400 yards. So, like, he could just – we got two drivable par fours, which he really wasn't driving earlier. So that's going to be fun. We got all the par fives he can reach into, probably with a wedge, with a second shot. Like, the stuff Bryson's going to be able to do here could be very entertaining. So I think Bryson at 11-1, he's one of those, like we talked about before at the PGA – or the – yeah, PGA. I like Bryson for GPPs. I still don't trust him in cash, because it's one of those – we've seen just get into his head – and his ego can get in the way. So if something goes wrong, it can go really wrong. But I think he's got the ability to easily win this thing, obviously. So those two are very intriguing. But the guy similar to Rahm in the ownership game, as you mentioned, Dustin Johnson, I think is intriguing, because it's been a heck of a like four or five tournaments for DJ. It's been all over the board. You know, he goes and wins, and then he shoots like back-to-back 80s, misses the cut. Then he withdraws because his quote-unquote backer, he's basically going for his third 80 in a row. So that was fun. Then he shoots he finishes 12th at the WGC. So that was a big improvement after that back issue. And then he goes and finishes second, and he should have won the dang thing. Like, I love Morikawa. I'm pumped Morikawa won it. Morikawa earned it. Like, just not taking it away. But DJ just didn't play well on Sunday. If he plays decent, he probably wins the darn thing. So, and we've seen that with DJ in majors before. So that's just frustrating. But seeing him shoot very well out there was very positive. Course history, your 7th last year, 18th, or 2 years ago, 18th, 8th, 44th. He's made all nine cuts, including two fourth-place finishes earlier in the decade. So he's played very, very well at this course. I think he's going to get overlooked. I think Morikawa is going to be popular coming off the win, and he's gained popularity because he's awesome. Like you said, I can't remember what the stat was because I don't know the exact model on how OWGR works. But it's like so many years and all these different deals. Like, if it was just for like the last calendar year or something, Morikawa is number one in the world. Like, that's how good he's playing. So he's earned the right to be 10-2 and be chalky. But I think that makes DJ and makes Rahm very interesting pivots at those points, because both could easily go out and get it. DJ's risky, though. We know DJ can just get a little goofy up there. So be careful. But I like the I like DJ at 10-4 at low ownership if you're paying up. This is a tournament you don't have to pay up for, though, because you look at this 9K range, you got Xander at 97, Webb at 95, who's outside of Morikawa, might be the hottest player in golf also. Like, he's just consistently putting it together out there. You got Day at 93, Cantlay at 92, Koepka at 91, and good old Patty Reed at 9,000. Like, honestly, I could see myself starting with two or three guys here instead of going to the 10K range. What do you like in this 9K range?
Yeah, I mean, just start with Xander for me. He's not really had really good finishes here, 49th and 53rd in his two starts, which was 2018 and 2017 at this golf course. But he's got two straight top tens, 10th place finish at the PGA Championship, 6th at the WGC. If you want to go back, four tournaments, four straight top 15s, five straight top 20s. The dude's just kind of trending for me in the right direction. And maybe this is the year he figures it out at TPC Boston. And then Jason Day, I don't think I'll be on Jason Day Island here, but four straight top tens for him, 4th, 6th, 4th, and 7th in his last four starts this year. Played a lot more golf too than what he normally would, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like,
makes me think he's actually healthy, which is good.
Yeah. And well, that plus the fact that
he looks like not really open. So he's tough. Can't just take the family there. So
right. And then, you know, but he's also like made, I mean, he's obviously swinging the club really well. He did miss the cut here in 2018, but before that he was at this golf course, 25th, 15th, 12th, 7th, 13th. So course history is there. If you just take off 2018, so those are my two favorite plays in this range.
Yeah, there's a couple I like here. I like Jason Day. I finally admitted it at the PGA. I'm like, I'm going to be on Jason Day. It scares me because of what Jason Day can do. But I couldn't ignore how well he's been playing. And like you said, 4th place at the PGA, 6th at WGC, 4th Memorial. Like, he's playing great golf. Like, really, really, like, we're having flashbacks of Jason Day and his heyday type stuff, which is great to see. You mentioned the miscut in 2018 prior to that, like a beast, 25th or better every year, but like one going back to 2010. That's outstanding. That's really, really good golf. So he knows the course. He's playing great golf. I like Day a lot at 93. I think he's a very, very strong play. Kevin, little shout out to Kevin because he knows something about some North Carolina golfer named Webb Simpson. And this is one of Webb's favorite golf courses. So no secret there. If you come to Slack chat, he'll tell you that there. So it's there. Come join us in the Slack chat for more fun like that. But Webb flat out said this is his favorite golf course. So coming in great form, 3rd place last week at the PGA or at the
Wyndham.
Wyndham, I was totally blanked there. 37th at the PGA, 12th at the WGC. But $9,500, I think he's a cash game lock with some GPP upside. I think if you want to do the GPP pivot, you play Day. If you don't play both, that's the way I'd approach that one. But both very strong plays. And then I'm going to Pat Reed. Like, if you want to talk course history and recent form, you know, he finished 9th last week, 13th at the PGA, 47th and 10th at Memorial. He likes playing these big fields where he's kind of not the main guy, like the WGC last 13th. He won the one down in Mexico. He contends in majors, 35th here in 18th, then 6th, 5th, 4th, 3 years prior. Plays well at this golf course, loves events like this. Taco Tits at $9,000 sounds like a very fun play to me. So I could foresee myself going Webb Reed, Webb Day, Day Reed, some combo of those three and starting things off. If I don't go all three, I could definitely see that as a starting point if I don't go all the way up and having some very competitive builds in that respect. So the way I look at it, neither one of us are on Brooks, huh?
I mean, you know.
He looks a little broken right now, which scares me because he looked so good for a while there.
I mean, he shoots 2 over par last week. He hits 80% of the greens, 50% of the fairways, putters, dog shit, can't scramble. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on with Brooks at this point. You know, he'll get ownership, and maybe rightfully so. He's a GPP only play, like, and I would only play him if I'm playing 150 lineups. If I have 20 or 3, there's 0% chance I'm touching Brooks.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, like, you look at people outside the 10K range, like, who could win? Yeah, Brooks could win, no doubt. Yeah, but like you said, where's his head at? Like, he,
I don't think it's his head. I think it's his body.
Yeah, maybe he is actually hurting more than he's letting on. But he said he's playing through it. He's going to fix it once the year's over, basically.
Right.
Like, he wants to play in the majors. Once the Masters over, I guarantee you he gets cut on. Like, it's happening. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, yeah, he's 91. So we'll see how the ownership game plays there. But 8K range, now we're getting into the 8 and 7s where you're like, yep, this is a major-type field because this is some good pricing here, folks. Berger at $8,900. Tony Finau at 88. Woods, Tiger Woods, $8,700. Hideki Matsuyama, 86. Casey, 85. Scott, 84. Tommy Fleetwood, 83. Victor Hovland, 82. Fitzpatrick, 81. Scheffler, 81. Hatton and Rose are both 8,000. I can cross a few guys off here, but it's very loaded, Jesse. What do you like in here?
Yeah, start with Daniel Berger. Probably my favorite play. I mean, I think that this price is a bit of a I don't want to say disrespect to him, but to me, that's really what it is. You know, $8,900. I get it. The name isn't necessarily like, you know, up there with the Rorys and the DJs and all and that whole bunch. But I mean, the guy since the break, if we go back even further than that, so let's just go back to the Phoenix Open 9th, 5th, 4th, 1st, 3rd, one miscut at the Memorial, which was just overly difficult. Second, 13th. So his worst finish since February, besides the miscut, if you throw that out, was the PGA Championship where he finished 13th.
Not bad.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, I really want to just lock him and just have 100% at this price. That's, I think that's ridiculous. Tony Finau, I think he's fine. He'll, you know, he'll get his ownership like he usually does, $8,800. Cash game wise, you know, I mean, if you're looking that route, I don't know why you wouldn't start with Tony at $8,800. I don't see him missing the cut here. He's made three straight cuts at this golf course. He finished fourth here last year, and the dude's just, you know, pretty much solid. You know, he makes a lot of birdies. He will piss you off if you're following along, but finished fourth at the PGA Championship. I mean, he, you know, he'll throw in a double or just a terrible bogey.
Or miss his easy putts. You're like, this should have been a birdie.
It'll happen, but, you know, eventually Tony's going to figure it out. So, Paul Casey, 8,500. So he made the cut last week. You know, didn't really do shit. When I say shit on the weekend, he shot one under, which is just losing massive amounts of strokes when guys are shooting 65s and 63s. And Jim Herman fucking pulls a 61 out of his ass. But the PGA Championship, he finished second. You know, they mentioned at the PGA Championship that he was working on his swing with his coaches, Peter Costas, who's used to be on the, I think, CBS broadcast.
CBS. Yeah. Sure.
He used to analyze swings on there. And then I listened to his, I don't know if you listened to it or not, the second No Laying Up podcast he did. It was pretty recently, maybe a month ago or so.
I have that one saved. I have not listened to it yet. But yes.
It's a pretty good one. And he talks a little bit about, you know, working with Paul Casey. Anyways, on the broadcast, PGA Championship, is that they were, you know, kind of really the way I took it was kind of, he was kind of turning a corner with his game. And it shows in that, you know, he finished second at the PGA Championship and then made the cut last week. Again, you know, didn't really do shit on the weekends. But his course history here is pretty good. 21st, 4th, 2nd in his last three starts at this course. Does have a WD, 25th, and then one miscut way back in 2008. So I think Paul Casey is totally fine. Adam Scott at 8,400, another guy who, you know, you just kind of never know really with what you're getting out of him, especially since he's only played one fucking golf tournament since the COVID break, and that was the PGA Championship. But the sumbitch comes out and shoots, you know, 4 under par and finishes 22nd. So, you know, I mean, obviously he's not just sitting around doing nothing. He's got decent course history here. 49th, miscut, 4th in his last three starts. And if you want to go back further, 16th, 53rd, 7th, and 8th. So I like Adam Scott, especially in GPPs. I'm gonna let you tell me what to do with Fitzpatrick. I've got him checked, and if you're on him, I'll be on him. But if you're not, I'm not going to be on him. Scotty Scheffler at 8,100. From a stats perspective, he fits. You know, I just can't. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get over. What was it, the Rocket Mortgage? Yeah.
Yes.
79-65.
Every week.
As long as Scotty Scheffler is in the field for the rest of my life, I'm going to talk about the Rocket Mortgage, the 2020 Rocket Mortgage Classic, when I put the lock button on him and he shoots 7 over the first day. Yep. And
7 under the second.
And then you talk about just some absolute tilt when you see him up the leaderboard on at the PGA Championship of all places, and he finishes 4th. But, I mean, 22nd at the Memorial, 15th at the St. Jude, 4th at the PGA Championship. I didn't play him at any of those places. I also didn't play him at the Workday Charity Open where he missed the cut, which was the week after
the Rocket Mortgage.
But the dude's hitting it well. I mean, he rates highly on my labs model. So the stats are there. It's quite obvious with the play, too. He's trending up and up and up. So 8,100, I think he's fine. Tyrrell Hatton, you know, I played him at the PGA Championship and I felt like he was playing okay. And then I don't know what the hell really happened to him. He shoots 2 over, 1 over, to miss the cut there. So I think he's a good GPP play. He did finish 12th here in his only start in 2018. So those are my guys here.
Yeah. I like Finau quite a bit, and I know most people will. $8,800. A guy that, you know, 4th, 65th, 3rd, 8th in his last four events. I mentioned 4th place here last year. I really like his game right now. He feels like this. He's not going to win, but he's going to top 5 more often than not. He's very good at that. So Finau at 80, like you said, if you're playing cash, you start with Finau. That's a really good spot to get things going for you. So I like him quite a bit. I like Casey, the course history here, and the recent form's getting better. I've heard his name already a lot. It's Monday evening, so I'm not going to play a chalky Paul Casey. I'll tell you that much. Like, I'll take chalk up higher or something, but not a chalky Paul Casey. So that's not happening. Fleetwood at 83. You did not mention Tommy Fleetwood. 24th here 2 years ago, 59th last week, 29th at the PGA. He seems like he's getting close, but he's just missing something. Are you? Do you have any interest in a guy like Fleetwood?
Hell no. No. I'm off.
Oh, man. For longtime listeners of the show, that used to be his boy. So that tells you where things are at right now.
I'm off Fleetwood, dude. He is just...
He's all over the place.
Yeah, so this is part of the week you win. So if you haven't played him, yeah, maybe I'd play him, but I'm not playing him. So go ahead and put that out there.
I like the Hatton call for GPP. 12th here 2 years ago. Missed cut. Was prior to that, really good form. So I don't mind Hatton in a GPP at 8,000. And then the guy you asked him about was Fitzpatrick. I'm glad he took last week off because I mentioned it last week on the PGA, on the Wyndham preview. When we recap the PGA, I had like a 12-player field for my three lineups, and I had Fitzpatrick in two lineups. He's the only guy that missed cuts the entire week. So I was a little tilted there because I think he was like 3 under to start the opening round, and then just it went downhill quick. What he does very well is his iron play, and he stays in the fairway more often than not, which is going to be big, but it's not as essential here. If his putter's hot, he's one of the best guys out there, but he was putting extremely well before the PGA kind of caught up with him. Now he's back on the East Coast. I'm going to go back to him. I think he's that like good. And the reason I like playing him so much is because his talent level is very, very good. He can be a top 10, top 5 type guy, but I love him because no one ever owns him. Like, you have a very talented guy that no one owns. And that's a thing that'll help you differentiate right there. So Fitzpatrick at 81, I will be back on this week. Not as in love with him as I usually am, because I've been playing him pretty much every weekend since he's been back. But definitely in play this week, going back to Boston and playing some golf there. All right, 7,500 and above. Ricky Fowler is down to 79. Billy Ho at 79. Spieth at 78. Matty Wolf, 78. Woodland is 78, and that is – I can't wait to see that ownership. Answer at 77. Sungjae had a big week like you called last week, 77. Siwoo Kim at 77. Champ, 76. Harris English, 76. Kiz, 76. Lowry, Oosty, Todd at 75. Again, kind of like the 8K range, like you can make a lot of arguments right here. So what do you like the 75 to 79 range?
Yeah, start with, Billy Horschel, obviously really good weekend last week. His course history's not great. Missed cut, 72nd, 70th in 5 starts here. He didn't play in 2018, but coming off that finish there, I just don't know if his ownership will be too high. I mean, that'd be one thing, like you mentioned with somebody earlier, to just check Fanshare and see how highly touted he is, to see if he's worth a play or not. I mean, I feel like if he's going to be low owned, I'll play him. If not, I don't know. Wolf at 78. He's never played here, but he's kind of that Hovland type. I'll just never not put those two guys together. I'll let you talk about Gary Woodland. I just realized his price is $7,800. I don't know what the fuck is going on with that. Not usually a Woodland guy. Answer at 77, finished 7th here in 2018, has not missed a cut since October of 2019.
Yep.
That's pretty solid.
Cash game, boys and girls.
Yeah. Sungjae, I think he's okay at $7,700. He obviously had a really good bounce back week last week. A couple of really good rounds in there, finished 9th. Maybe he figured something out after that missed cut to PGA Championship. So I think he's fine. And then Harris English at 7,600. 41st here in 2016, which was his last start at this golf course. 12th the year before that, missed cut, 27th, 69th. So 4 out of 5 years he's made the cut, and the dude's just really turning out top 20s. Basically 5 straight top 20s. I know he finished 23rd last week, but I'm going to go ahead and just give him the top 20 on that. That's it.
Yeah, Gary Woodland, I said his price is too cheap for me. He's made all 7 cuts here, 24th back in 18, 18th, 15th, 12th, 29th, 41st, 25th. That's pretty darn good for $7,800. He's been on, 58th at the PGA, not great, but he's made 4 straight cuts, including a 5th at the Workday. I'll go back to Gary Woodland at 78. I think that's one you can definitely expose this week. Answer at 77, absolutely love. You nailed everything about it. I was kind of surprised by his price as well. Didn't understand that. 7th here last year. And you mentioned it's the cut-making machine. So Honest Abe at 77, We can go there. Him in a GPP at 77. That was awesome to see him bounce back last week. I'm real tempted to be back on Siwoo. We mentioned it last week. I've played him for like three straight weeks because no one plays him. Like, they just don't, because he's tilting. I get it. I understand the logic, but he's locked in right now, and I hope he's still locked in after kind of blowing it last week. But third last week, 13th, 45th, 1st, 45th, 18th, 64th, 57th, and 11th is last seven or eight events. That's pretty good. And he's 3 for 3 on made cuts here, 35th, 40th, and 15th. So Siwoo at 77, another low ownership play you can take advantage of right there. I love English, like you mentioned. That's another strong play. And then Kisner, four straight made cuts here, including 24th 2 years ago. So you can do a lot in this range. Woodland, Answer, Siwoo, English, Kim, Kisner. I have no arguments with any of those guys. Like, you can use a few of them and pay up. You can mix them with some 8 and 9s. You can play the ownership game here. I really like this $7,500 to $7,900 range. Like, guys that are legit good golfers that are good cut makers also, that can help your lineups out a ton this week. So big fan of this range. $7,000 to $7,400, Jesse, you think it's a major event because Kuchar is 74. But what else do you like in this range?
Yeah, I mean, start with Kuch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight made cuts at this golf tournament. I've got it back to 2012. I mean, not really high finishes, 43rd, 56, 46, 9th, 29th, 4th. I mean, it's kind of mixed as far as those finishes go. Coming off the miscut at the PGA Championship, you'll get him at lower ownership. Russell Henley at 7,300. I mean, the dude's just kind of getting a little bit better every week. He still, you know, is hitting the ball well. Just, you know, will his putter ever work? That's a great question. 9th place finish last week. 58th and 40th in his last two starts at this event. And then Ian Poulter at 7,200. From a course history perspective, he's actually hit it pretty well around here. He did miss the cut in 2018, but 23rd, 33rd, 23rd, 9th in his four starts before that. He did make the cut to the PGA Championship, finished 22nd. So he had a really solid round on Friday to make that cut. And then Dylan Fratelli at $7,000, just from four straight made cuts for him, you know, two top 20s in that, a 33rd and a 22nd. So I mean, the guy's just kind of sneakily going along and, hitting the ball really well. So those would be my guys in this range.
Yeah. The Kuchar call, cash only. I just don't think he's got right now where he can compete for a GPP takedown for you. So I do like him in cash, though. It's what Kuch does, especially in these events at that price point. It's a given. Henley's interesting at 73. A guy I think that you might get at some low ownership this week is Adam Hadwin. When you talk course history, three straight made cuts, 21st, 13th, 46th, coming in with seven straight made cuts dating back the last 10 events. So that's pretty strong golf from Adam Hadwin at 7,200 a game. Again, of course, you don't have to bomb it. You can play the iron game if you want to, and Adam Hadwin could do that with the best of them. And then in a GPP, I'm going to keep playing guys like Joel Dahman at 71, because when he gets hot, he can go low. We've seen that. He missed the cut here last go-around, but 10th at the PGA, 20th at the WGC, 74th at the Memorial, missed a cut, but then 20th, 45th, 19th. Like, we know he can go low when he gets hot. Usually at least makes the cut for you more often than not. So I think Dahman at 71 is an interesting GPP-type play. And I like the Fratelli call as well. I have Fratelli circled down here. First time playing this event, but he's a birdie machine right now. 20th last week. I have no problem with Fratelli at 7K. Most weeks he's in the 6. So I think a 7K Fratelli is very, very much in line this week. All right, 6K range, Jesse. What stands out to you? Because an event like this, there could be quite a few.
Yeah, there's plenty of names down here. Start with Brendan Steele, $6,800. He did miss the cut here in 2018, but before that, he made six straight cuts, had a top 20, a top 10 in there, has made four straight cuts on tour since the Travelers, and he has a sixth place finish, a 13th place finish mixed in there. At 6,800, I think he's worth a shot. Denny McCarthy played really well last week, finished 9th with a solid 63 on Sunday, hit a lot of greens, four straight made cuts for him on tour. Lonto Griffin, man, $6,700. So, like, when the dude is in the 6K range, he just pays off. I mean, the majority of the time is crazy. And he tends to show up, like, just in random spots. Like, at the PGA Championship, didn't really expect to see his name on the leaderboard. And he was up there for a bit. So I like going back to him at $6,700. Henrik Norlander, he rates out like really highly on my Fantasy Labs model. He's made six straight cuts on tour, has a sixth place finish at the Memorial Tournament. He made the cut last week, didn't play well on the weekend, but it was 23rd at the 3M before that. So I like Henrik quite a bit. Adam Shank, he made the cut last week too. Four straight made cuts for him. I mean, you know, when you're getting down here, I think there's plenty of guys, and I can talk about it here in a second because there was a question. I don't know if you saw it there on the YouTube comments.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about lineup construction here in a minute, but those are some of the guys. I mean, you don't really have to get in the 6Ks, I don't feel like, but I'm going to because, I don't know, I feel like that's where if you pick the right guy, you're really going to separate yourself.
Yeah, because even when you can pay up, so you know guys are going to pay up, so they're going to have to usually drop down here. They're still low owned. It's all scattered around. So you pick the right guy down here, you can definitely have some fun. Like Brian Harman, five straight made cuts here. He's made 6 to 7 cuts here, 27th last week at the Wyndham. I think he's a guy you can look at 6,800. Keegan Bradley, $6,600. He's a Boston guy. He's made six straight cuts here, 49th, 35th, 25th, 18th, 16th, 13th. He missed cut at the PGA, but then he made about four straight cuts prior to that. I think he's an interesting GPP play at 6,600. So he's obviously played this course many times. Bud Cauley, 47th and 57th in his two times here back in 17 and 12. Coming with a 15th last week at the Wyndham, 37th at the PGA. So Cauley at 66 is on the list as well. Ryan Armour at 64, coming off a nice week. Richie Wierwinski coming off a missed cut, but the form is legit. A birdie-making monster. So for GPPs, if you want a guy that can make birdies in bunches down here, I definitely could get on that. First at the Barracuda, third at the Memorial before that. So you can definitely have some fun with Richie at 65. And the last guy I'll mention, I played him last week. He tilted you on Thursday. He shot 4 under on Friday to get to the weekend, and it got him a finish of 42nd. He finished 5th at the WGC, 62nd. He's just big cut after cut after cut right now since the return of golf, and he's made all 5 cuts he's played here, and that's Scott Stallings at $6,400. It was really tilting watching him, especially his Friday or his Thursday when he shot even par. He had so many, even on Friday, so many putts within 10 feet, and he missed so many of them. Like he could have went real low. So his ball striking's on point right now. Just the putting's not completely there. So I think Scott Stallings at 64, he's a guy that legit could like top 25 for you down here, which I think you can say that about some guys, but not feel confident about it. I think you can with Stallings at 64. So I like him quite a bit down here. Oh, yeah. Recapping 10K and above, who's your one guy?
I'm going to go with Rahm.
Yeah, I like that. That's a sneaky, sneaky play. One guy. I'm going to go Bryson. I know it sounds easy, but I think if you're paying up here, go to Bryson. But DJ, I'm do some more digging on DJ. He intrigues me this week. 9K range, who's your one guy?
I'm going to say Xander. I'm sorry, Nagel.
Yeah, I want Xander to win so bad. If people remember our preview show to the year, I picked Xander to have a monster season, like player of the year type stuff. This one's tough for me because there's two guys I love in this range. I'm going to go with Jason Day over Patrick Reed because I just love the form Day is in. But man, Reed's always low owned, like so low owned. It's going to be beautiful. 8K range, give me two guys.
I'm locking in Daniel Berger, and then I will also say Adam Scott. I'm not going to lock Adam Scott in, but I'm just saying Adam Scott would be my second pick.
Finau and Fitzpatrick for me. Those would be my two guys. 75 to 7,900, go to. It's pretty loaded.
Yeah, Wolf and English.
Woodland for me, like that's Woodland and Answer. I'm just going there so quickly. That's going to be a lot of – if they miss the cut, I won't see you on the weekend. Let's put it that way. Because that's going to be a lot of exposure right there. 7,000 to 7,400. Give me two.
Henley and Poulter.
I'll go with Dahman and Fratelli. And then 6K, do you want to go one or two? I don't care.
Two. Steele and Norlander.
I'm going to go with Keegan Bradley and Scott Stallings. So lots of ways to go this week, obviously, with loaded fields like this. Before we go to our recaps of the GPPs and cash plays and all that stuff, we do have questions. Mr. Mike Tucker, you can find him in the Slack chat also at all times, one of our NASCAR gurus over there. He asks a couple questions, and first he brags that it's the coolest summer in Texas. That's cool. So we've got two questions. He said, we said in Slack, we have a, it's a major like field and major like salary. How does that affect your lineup building? So that's a good question. Cause we've said it a few times, and if you're kind of newer to golf, it might not ring a bell of why, but I'll let you get to the lineup building in a second. The major type feel, top 125 in the world. So it's the best of the best showing up to play in this event. And when it's the best of the best, there's going to be some really good golfers not priced high because they can't be all be over 10K or over 9K. So how does that affect your lineup building knowing there's some super talented guys even in the 7K range?
Yeah, I mean, it's not really going to change my mindset from – I mean, I have a GPP mindset. I mean, it's a bad one. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I have a great GPP mindset.
It's been successful.
It has been. But after a while, you kind of lose, you know, confidence in yourself. But so, like, I probably will do a lot of stars and scrubs this week because I feel like there are guys in the low sevens and even the sixes that I want to play. I know that you can get low-owned guys in that 6K range this week especially. It happens every single time in a major, and that kind of goes back to the question of, you know, of what do you do in these types of fields. Now, one thing to consider here is there's going to be 125 start, 65 in ties make the cut. So there's going to be around half the field. Let's just say half the field gets cut or a little bit less. 6-6 is going to be high. So for me, I want to grab some guys who are projected low owned and who I feel like will be low owned and, but also, you know, that can top 10 or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. That's why I think you can play the ownership game on FanShare, especially in certain regions where like you like a few guys and you just take the lower owned guy and go from there. Because in order to win the GPPs, especially with so many 6-6s, like you're saying, you're going to need most of these guys to be, I'm not going to say they all be top 10, but like when I say Scott Stallings can get you a top 20, that's huge at 6,400. Yeah. Because then it opens up guys to go top five for you and stuff like that. So and you need to have the winner for sure. That's going to have to happen.
The other thing is there's a lot of birdies to be made out there. So you got to get the guy. You want the guys who are prolific birdie makers. For me, that means they're bad putters. But, you know, so you're going to get some three jacks and some bad chip shots and shit like that.
Yeah, or you got guys going plus seven one round and minus seven the next because they make a bunch of birdies. So
I thought we were done talking about that.
No, you brought it up, and it's scarred into my head. So that's on you. We got that, and like that's why we love Finau because we talked about it in the past. Finau and JT for years. I haven't looked at like this year's numbers because it's kind of a weird year. They were always like the top two in no cut events, and it's to me for them this feels like a no cut event because they should make the cut. So they're gonna it's a birdie making field, and they can fire off at stuff like this. So. It's just little things like that to keep in mind when you're building everything. You want birdies and bunches. That's why when we talk stats, sometimes birdie or better percentage, par five scoring, because you have to birdie those par fives. Like we saw like at events last week where the par fives are so huge. You mentioned Patty Reed, seven under. That opens up so many other things for you. If you like, you have a bogey here and there, taking advantage of the holes you have to take advantage of. Like you, Jesse knows it. I know when anybody plays golf, if your home course, you know there's like three holes that you have to par better no matter what. You have to walk away with it. You don't, you already know you're around screwed. Like, just the way it goes. So that's kind of where, when you're building these things, how you go about it. The other question you had is, do you go more off of course history and not the tournament? So say, so event history, course history, how do you, we talk about that a lot. I know we lack a lot of past history. What do you got?
Yeah. So just course history. That's the only thing I'm waiting. I don't really care. You know, this tournament was played at a different course last year.
Yep.
It doesn't, you know, those results really don't affect anything, but the results at this golf course from 2018 and before, you know, are something that I'm definitely going to weigh. So it's always course history versus tournament. It just makes it super confusing when they move this shit around like this.
Yep. 100% with you there. All right. If you're starting a GPP build and you said you got that GPP mindset this week, Jesse, what are you starting?
Rahm, Norlander, and Berger. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with. I'll start with Day, Reed, and Tony Finau, and then pencil it in from there. Like, I'm stuck on Day and Reed. This is not gonna be good. I already can tell. I like being focused in on a small core, but we know how well that can work sometimes. So that's gonna be really interesting. Cash wise, how are you starting cash? Because I like cash. This is the last week I'll play cash until after the FedEx tournament because I do not like it in no-cut events. This is close to an Oak Cup, but I can still be okay with it. So where are you starting in cash this week?
Yeah, I mean, if I were to play cash this week, I think we mentioned a few. Berger would obviously be on that list because he's a lock. So I'd put him on every single lineup build for me. I think Cooch is cash viable. Mm-hmm. Scares me a little bit with that miscut. But, you know, whatever. And then, I mean, Woodland's price, man. Just, I mean, I know he's not necessarily coming in the best form, but course history's there. The form is okay enough for a cash gameplay for me.
Yeah, for me, it's Finau, Woodland, and Answer. I'm starting with those three right there. And you could leave cash on the table for your cash lineups. Like, stick in the sevens and eights, and I could be completely fine with that. You don't have to, but the one thing I will emphasize, and I say it in the Slack chat a lot, do not dig into the low-price guys in cash. That's the GPP world. Like, you do not do it. There's so many good players here. You do not need to dig in to the basement. All right. Who you got winning this thing?
It's a great question. There's some interesting odds out there. You know, Justin Thomas is 14-1. Rahm's 14-1. I mean, Bryson's 12. Bryson's the favorite. That's a bit weird to me. I don't mind Berger at 28. And then just looking over these odds, Wolf at 50 is kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, he brings some to this. If I had a different site up that just went down, so I'm loading Bovada as we speak. This is a how we do things right now. But
I can be you. You just tell me the name.
I got it now. I got it. Okay. If we're going to get like Wolf at 50 is very interesting. I agree. Like, I'd love to play Finau, but he just can't close. That's the crappy part there.
Right.
But if we're talking like birdie makers, like an Answer at 66, the guy is consistent. He hits greens like crazy. So he's going to give himself a lot of chances to score. I think, and I said earlier, the cream usually rises to the top. So more often than not, like a top 50 or like 50 to 40 and above, those guys are the ones that are going to win this thing. So, but if you want to go a little deeper, I think Answer is an intriguing option down here. And then if you want to go a little deeper for a guy that might be a longer shot, I was looking at him earlier. Where the heck did he go? Maybe not. We'll just cancel that one. So well, don't worry about
it. It's interesting too that Hovland is, you know, 66 and Wolf is 50.
Yeah, there's some interesting price differences compared to DraftKings this week.
You know, I wouldn't mind a little sprinkle on Hovland there at 66 as well. I think those are kind of long odds.
What about after last week, Sungjae at 50? Now that he's making birdies again? I know it's only 1 week, but we know how he can play.
Yeah. I don't know. I would rather go with Wolf at 50 if I'm going to go with one. It's crazy, though, that Rose and Ricky are both 50 as well. I wouldn't necessarily lay any money on either one of those guys, but –
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
It's crazy.
We didn't talk about him at all. He's 40-1 and he's $8,700. El Tigre.
Yeah, I mean, he's there. He's going to play.
I know. It's so hard. We'd all want him to win, but to like put our hard-earned money behind it,
it tilts me because like I do want to root for the guy, but I never play him on DraftKings. So anytime he has success, I lose money. So then it, you know. It's like, just the gambler's double-edged sword.
Yeah, like listening to my Harding Park, and we knew it was cold. We talked about it on the show, and then he talked about it, and he said it after every round. Like, my back held up. Like, he knew it was going to be tough. Now, it's going to be warmer out here or in Boston.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So that's going to help him a lot. That's one thing to keep in mind. I'm still not going there, but that's a narrative you're going to see all over the place. So keep that in mind, but we'll wrap it up there. It's going to be a fun week. I love these kind of loaded fields. I know it sounds simple. I love golf because I also like it when it's the kind of obscure stuff where it's these guys we get to see get exposure for once. But these are fun when it's the big boys and they actually care because they want to keep advancing because that big paycheck at the end of East Lake is what they actually care about. So this is like all of a sudden you see these guys show up and it's like, oh, okay, they flip the switch usually. Yeah. And like we talked about last week with the weird year we've had, a lot of these guys aren't as locked into East Lake as they once were. So this is going to be fun to watch them maybe – like some of these guys used to skip this first one and show up next week. So they're all here, which is a lot of fun as well. Yes. So final thoughts.
Good luck.
There we go. Check us out in the Slack chat if you guys want. Free. Got all sports cranking up in there, but a lot of fun stuff in there. A lot of green screens all over the place. These guys are crushing it with NASCAR. Baseball's going. Basketball. Esports is still getting – like these guys are just WNBA. You name it, these guys play it. It's why we're the degens. This is what we do.
And like you said, free.
Yeah, free.
No charge.
All you got to do is get us an email. You're in. Have fun. So come check all that out. Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And we'll catch you guys next week. This was the 2020 Northern Trust Preview. We're out.